If you know that life is not always fair, say amen. Amen. But I'm glad there is a land that's fairer than day. I rejoice tonight in the good Spirit of the Lord. And wouldn't it be a shame to come to church and never have church? Well, y'all do know what I'm talking about, don't you? There's a whole lot of places could be sued for false advertisement. They've got worship on the sign, but it's never been in the service. And I reckon if we're going to get dressed up and come to church, we might as well have some church. And you'll not have church just because you've got some singing. You'll not have church just because you've got a preacher. But if the Holy Ghost will come by, we can have church. I'm glad the Bible still says where two or three are gathered. And I have preached in places where there was thousands, but there was probably only two or three that were gathered. Some of y'all ain't hearing me tonight. There's a couple of thousand there, but there's just two or three that was gathered. And I'm thankful that the Lord is so good that if one gets to looking for Him, He'll put His hand on that one. And His hand is so big, if He touches that one, He's going to brush up against somebody didn't even want Him to. Anybody ever bump into the Lord and you didn't even want to? Yeah. I'm thankful tonight for a good place to go to church. I heard about one church, it was so dead, a fella died of a heart attack in the Sunday morning service. And they called the ambulance to come and get him. And the paramedics carried out three different men before they found the right one. You ever been to church there? You ever preached there, Brother Ken? I'm talking about raise your hand. Folk think you got a question. No, I ain't got a question. I've got the answer. I bless the Lord tonight. Open up your Bible to Joshua 2. Stand with me, find verse 18. Joshua chapter 2, verse number 18. It's good to have my wife with me tonight. Hopefully my dad and my brother Jason are going to be here tomorrow night. And hopefully Dalton will be here tomorrow night too. Somebody said, do y'all just have one child? Oh, yes. And we named him Dalton, but now I wish we'd named him Alpha and Omega. Because he is the beginning and the end. Amen. Joshua chapter 2, verse number 18. Two spies have gone down into Jericho. They have spied out the land. They've taken up residence in the house of Rahab the harlot. And she has heard about their God. Can I say tonight, His reputation precedes Him. She finds out what the plan is. And there's more preaching here than I can do justice to tonight. But she finds out what the plan is, and she immediately does her part to change sides. How many of you are glad for the day that you got on the winning side? Somebody said, well, I know the Lord's on my side. I don't know about that. I believe that we're either on His side or we're on the wrong side. We'll pick up reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away. They departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight humble and thankful and appreciative of everything you've done for us. Lord, we ask you tonight for a touch that is not ours. We ask you for an ability that is not ours. We ask you for a divine utterance from the Holy Spirit. This is a book that was written for the heart, not for the head. Lord, I pray that you would communicate these truths tonight. Give us ability, Lord. Give us strength. And I'll love you and I'll thank you in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. You can be seated. The spies have come into Jericho and they have told Rahab the harlot that the world in which she lives is about to be destroyed. Matter of fact, everything that Rahab had ever known was inside the confines of that wall. Everything she had ever experienced, everything she had ever loved, everything she had ever wanted was inside the walls of Jericho. I guess we could say it like this, her world was wrapped up in Jericho. These two men came to her and they have said that your world is going to be destroyed. May I say to you tonight that we live in a world, I'm going to need a witness right here, that is so very temporary. Well, I'm going to try that one more time. We live in a real temporary world. I know that everybody went to the voting booth today and you should, but I want you to understand something. The White House is not the answer for America. And I think that we can certainly do a lot better than we have. But it doesn't matter if it's a donkey or an elephant, this world is not going to last forever. This is a temporary world. And they told her, your world is going to be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, this world in which we live, one day it will be destroyed. But I'm so glad, bless the name of the Lord, that before her world was destroyed, there was a promise that was given to her. And I want to preach, if the Lord will help me and if you'll help me, I want to preach for a few moments tonight on when your world is hanging by a thread. Her world was about to fall apart. Matter of fact, it was going to fall in around her. And it was then going to be destroyed by fire. Sounds familiar, does it not? This world in which we live, one day it will fall in. The economic system, the political system, the government system, it will fall in. And the Bible says that it will be destroyed by fire. But I'll need some good help right here. When the world is falling in, I'm glad we'll still be hanging by a thread. I guess I ought to explain tonight what I mean by that. The Bible says in verse 18 that they gave her a scarlet thread. And they said that scarlet thread was the indication that God had saved her and her house. This scarlet thread is not new in Scripture, for it first appeared in the book of Genesis when man sinned in the garden. Before the Lord ever turned Adam and Eve out, an animal was slain and blood was shed. That blood began to flow out of the Garden of Eden. It trickled its way down to the Passover night in the book of Exodus. That blood makes its appearance here and there throughout the Scripture. But thank God, on the cross of Calvary, the blood of the darling Lamb of God was shed for the sins of the whole world. Simon Peter came along and said, "It's precious blood." By the time we get to the book of Revelation, I see our lovely Savior reappearing in the clouds with a vesture that is dipped in blood. In case you don't know it tonight, we are a blood-bought people. Well, I need a little bit more help than that. We are a blood-bought people. And everything that we have in Christ is because of the blood that was shed on Calvary. This woman's faith and her hope and her world was hanging by that scarlet thread. Let me show you three things tonight, if the Holy Ghost will help me. First of all, notice that in this text, we find the preaching of the blood. Look at verse number 18. How many of you love your King James Bible? Now, I believe every word in this Bible was put there by God on purpose. Notice how they begin in verse 18. Say that word with me out loud. Very first word, say it, behold. Say it again, behold. Can I tell you tonight that the word behold is a preaching word? You know what the word behold means? It means stop what you're doing and pay attention to what's about to be said. I like to mess with coon dogs, and I've got some, and I had a dog the other several months ago that absolutely was the craziest thing I've ever laid my eyes on. I mean, didn't even look right out of his eyes. One over here, one running around over here. That dog wouldn't listen to me. And finally, I went and got my dog box, and I got that Tritronic shock collar out. I cinched it up on him real tight. And he got to where he'd sit out there in the pen and just bark for no apparent reason. Remind me of some church members I got. Just always got to be making a noise over something. And I got tired of hearing him out there in that pen. And I put that Tritronics on him. I'm sorry. I hope ain't no PETA folks in here tonight. But I did find a little enjoyment in this. I'd be laying in there in the bed and I'd hear him out there, oh, oh, oh. Ain't no coon in 100 miles. Him just out there, oh, oh. I'd roll over and get that nightstand, roll that thing up to about number 7. He'd say, oh, oh, ah. That's one of them behold collars. Can I get a witness? It means, listen here, pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you. I'd done that about 5 nights in a row. He'd be out there, oh, oh, ah. I took him to the woods. Brother Ken turned him out. He finally tree. He wouldn't even bark on the tree. I got down there. He was doing sign language. Some of y'all would like to have one of them for your youngins. Say amen. Oh, Lord, we done left Peter, got over into child abuse now. That's what behold means. Behold means pay attention, listen up. It's a preaching word. Do you know the first time the word behold is in your Bible? It's God in Genesis 1, I believe verse 29. And the Lord God said, behold. What but two people on the planet, and God had to shut their mind off of what was going on around them and get their attention. It's a preaching word. And can I tell you tonight that what we need is some more behold preaching in these hours? You know what this little limp-wristed, mealy-mouthed generation of preachers, they're not going to say behold. They're going to say, let's take what you're already doing. We'll make it work with what God's trying to say. But we don't want to impose or impede on you. Honey, I'm glad it was a behold preacher that climbed up where I was when I was lost. Behold. God said it in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says that Joseph in Egypt, in captivity, that Joseph looked into the eyes of Pharaoh and said, "Behold." Moses walked into the throne room of Pharaoh and said, "Behold, let my people go." Every major preacher or character in the Bible used the word, "Behold." Isaiah said it. Jeremiah said it. Ezekiel said it. Every minor prophet said it. But one day, hallelujah, in John chapter 1, there came a man off the hillside, and John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." It is a preaching word. That means pay attention, listen up, God's about to say something. And I know that it's not real popular, but if you've got a behold preacher, you better thank God. You've got somebody who's not afraid to say what the Lord has to say. They came in verse 18 preaching the blood. Now, I want to say this tonight. Everybody, I'm going to need a witness right here. Everybody needs hard preaching. Well, some of you didn't look like you cared for that all that much. I'm about to come sit in your lap and finish this sermon. Amen. You'd have been better off just to agree. Nobody knew who you was, but now we know who you are now. Everybody needs hard preaching. You say, "Well, I don't want nobody to hurt my feelings. I'd rather the preacher hurt my feelings and save my family from hell than tell me what we want to hear and let us drop off in a Christless eternity." Everybody needs hard preaching. I need a man of God to get a backbone like a saw log, get a heart that's saturated with the Holy Ghost, get his head full of this scripture, climb up on the end of my pew and tell me just exactly, "Thus saith the Lord." Everybody needs hard preaching. We need hard preaching. But can I say it like this tonight? We need hard preaching, but nobody needs harsh preaching. You know, you can do hard preaching without having harsh preaching. You ever heard somebody that's telling the truth, but they weren't telling it the right way? You see, not only did they come saying, "Behold," but how many spies showed up preaching this gospel? I'll give you a hint. It was two. What is two the number of in your Bible? It is the number of a witness. Hallelujah, I'm having a good time tonight. They not only came preaching with a warning, but they came preaching with a witness. How many of you know what a witness is? It is a confirmation that this is the truth. While I'm preaching tonight, while they were singing tonight, the good truths of God are and were going forth. And if you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you, the Holy Ghost inside of me is helping me preach, and the Holy Ghost inside of you is bearing witness to what God's saying tonight. Bless your heart, there's some of y'all, you look at me and Brother Ken, some of these folks around here, and you say, "Dear Lord, I'd never act like that." Well, you may not act like it, but deep down inside, we know you really want to. And you it may be all you can do to squeak out a Presbyterian amen. And there's some of y'all, you sit on your hands in church so one won't pop up. And I mean, you're so tight, you nod your head and it squeaks. Everybody can hear it three rows in front of you. But when the Word of God is going forth, there is a witness in your heart that says, "That's right, that's how it is. Bless the Lord, I agree with that." These men came by two. They had a warning, but they had a witness. And where there is real preaching, it will not only have a behold in it, but it'll have a witness and a confirmation that it's exactly what the Lord's trying to say. I'm going to ask y'all again. You ever heard somebody preach truth, but there was no witness in your heart? We not only need hard preaching, but we need Holy Ghost preaching. Amen goes right there. We not only need hard preaching, we need Holy Ghost preaching. We need that witness from another world that confirms what God's a saying. You see, we find in verse 18, behold, the preaching of the blood. But I want you to notice with me secondly, I find in our text the power of the blood. This scarlet thread is a wonderful picture of the power of the blood. Notice what the Bible says in verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt what? Bind this line of scarlet thread. Verse number 21, the Bible says, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, I love good Bible words. And the word bind or bound in our text, it is a legal word. It is a word that has implications of a legal terminology. Here's what the word literally means. It means that two have been joined together. Maybe you'd understand it better like this. To be bound or to bind in our vernacular, in our legal terms, we would call it a binder. You know what a binder is? When you bought that house, when you bought that land, the first thing you did was you signed a binder. And that binder said that two parties have come together. They have both entered into an agreement. Here's the thing about a binder. Hallelujah, I'm having a time tonight. That if one party should fail to meet their part or to meet their commitment, that the other side will still stand by what it said is going to do. I bought my house. I signed that binder. And I promised them a certain amount of money for the rest of my natural born days. Can I get a witness right there? And here's what the binder said. It said that I will make such and such payment. And the bank came back and said, and our agreement is, if you do not, then we will come and we will take what will be ours. How many of you know that if I fail to meet my part of the agreement, that the higher authority will still do what they said they's gonna do? They'll put your stuff in a cardboard box and they'll sell it to the next one coming down the road. Because it is a binding agreement. It means that we have entered into a covenant together. Hallelujah. And though one party may drop the ball, legally the other side is still going to do what it said is going to do. You know what she said? She said, I'm entering into a binding covenant and this world is going to fall down around me. But when it falls, I've got a binding agreement that I'll stand while the world falls. Hallelujah. Oh yes. The word bind, it'll tie up while everything else is coming apart. It'll hold it together. Why everything else is crumbling around it. Can I tell you tonight that when I got saved, the Holy Ghost went all the way back to the very first day of my life. He took every sin I ever had committed. He walked into my future, took every sin that I would commit. He gathered them all together. He bound them with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and made an agreement that I was saved by the grace of God. Now, in this binding agreement, I've not glory to God. I've not always kept my side of the promise. Well, I need some help in here. I hadn't always done what I said I was going to do. I hadn't always kept my promise. I hadn't always kept my word. But I'm glad there's a higher authority. And though I made the fault, I'm glad He's still keeping His promise. Oh, bless the name of the Lord.
The Bible says in verse number 21, and she said, I may just have me a spell right here. And she said, according unto your words. I'll give you a minute, let that sink in. She said, according unto your words, so be it. Brother Ken, if I could just take a little liberty, she might have said something like this. You're the one that came down here and told me my world was falling apart. You're the one that told me everything was going to collapse around me. You're the one that told me I was going to be dead. You're the one that told me there was no hope. And so if I'm going to be saved, it's not going to be on my word. I want it to be on your word. I was 7 years old when I got saved by the grace of God. I don't remember what I said when I got saved. I was sitting in a little old concrete block building with a behold preacher up in the pulpit. I was sitting on the front row and the Holy Ghost got to working in my heart. You know, the good thing about being on the front is you ain't got far to go when God shows up. And I hit my knees about two steps and knelt down on a little old 6-inch plywood platform. And I prayed and I asked the Lord into my heart. And I don't remember everything I said. I don't remember that prayer word for word. I can't recall what my words were. But I'm so glad tonight I'm not saved by my word. I'm saved by His word. Oh, there may be somebody here tonight. You don't remember everything you said. You don't remember everything you told God. I got good, glad gospel news for you. It don't matter. You're not saved by your words. You're saved by His Word. It don't matter if you got it theologically right. It don't matter if you went down the Romans road. It don't matter what you said. Only thing that matters is you turned your heart to God and believed in His Word. She said, no. This ain't gonna be built on what I say. My world, glory to God. My world's are coming apart. My world's crumbling around me. I'm not gonna trust in what I said. I'm gonna trust in what you said. When she put faith in that blood, and she put faith in that scarlet thread, it was bound. And it was covenanted together, and she had entered into an agreement. And ladies and gentlemen, the blood can bind up whatever is broken in your life. Young man by the name of William Cowper, born into a preacher's home. At the age of 6, his mother passed away. His dad was a minister of the gospel. He told young William, he said, son, without your mother, I just can't raise you by myself. I can't do it. I can't do you right. He turned him over to an orphanage. 6 years old, he began to battle with bitterness and with depression. By the way, you ought to be real careful because the emotions that your young people experience, they are just as real as the emotions that you experience. That little 6-year-old boy went into a battle of depression. What we talked about last night, it's not fair. Not why would you let my mother die? Why would you let my father turn me out? Why would you let me be a 6-year-old orphan? And he began to be deeply depressed. As a young man, he fell in love with a beautiful young lady and thought that he would be married to her. As the wedding approached and got closer, they broke it off and she crushed his heart. And he fell back deep into that depression. Tried to commit suicide and failed. They put him in an insane asylum for 18 months where he was locked up in a padded room. William Cowper got out of that insane asylum and a preacher by the name of John Newton took him into his home. One day William was in the back room reading Zechariah 13 verse 1 And he read where the Bible says, there shall be a fountain open in that day. And we, oh glory, and William Cowper, whose mother had died, who had battled depression, who had had a broken heart, who had tried to take his own life, he sat down with a pen in his hand, and with all of his broken pieces, he wrote these words, there is a fountain, and it's filled with blood drawn from a man's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, they lose all of their guilt. Because William Cowper understood that the blood could bind up whatever was broken in his life. We see the power of the blood. We sing the preaching of the blood. Everybody doing all right tonight? Then we see, thirdly, the people of the blood. Look in verse number 19. Brother Ken got awful close to my hunting ground tonight. And it shall be, big old shouting word coming up right here. And it shall be that, say it out loud, whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, we will be guiltless. Here it comes again. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head. Look at me right here. You know who the people of the blood are. They're not Jews. They're not Greeks. They're not Gentiles. They're not black. They're not white. They're not red or brown. I'll tell you who they are. They're that bunch that came in the door that said, whosoever. 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 I want you to understand something tonight. That term, whosoever, that is a two-way street. They said to her, whosoever shall go out, let them go out, and their blood be upon their head. Brother Ken, one of the things that breaks our heart is a man of God and pastors in the community. I cannot go anywhere without seeing somebody who came and heard and rejected and has gone back out the way they came. Sometimes I feel like a failure, and sometimes I feel like I've dropped the ball, and sometimes I feel like, what could I have done differently? But I have to remind myself that whosoever goes both ways, if they want out, they can stay out. If they reject Him, that is their choice. Well, some of y'all getting quiet on me now. I believe I can pray for you. I believe I can pray the Holy Ghost to convict you. I believe I can intercede for your soul. But no matter what I do, I cannot make you get saved. Old churches I grew up in as a little boy, you didn't want to be a sinner and come around there. They'd pray awful things on you. Oh Lord God, I pray you'd let their bed get short. Let the mattress get hard. Let the sheets get small. Let their food taste bad. I'm talking about pray all kind of bad stuff on sin. And I believe the Lord will do that. Can I get a witness? But at the end of the day, still your choice if you want in or if you want out. He said, whosoever shall go out, they can go out. Well, I like this. He said, whosoever, hey, glory. Whosoever shall come in, let them come in. And if they're in, they're going to be safe while Jericho's falling down. I like that little song we sang as kids growing up. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. I'm glad our God is a whosoever will save you. I promise you tonight, my neck's as red as anybody's in here. But we got to be real careful to let our preferences, we can't let them sneak in our theology. And all of that racism and all that picking and choosing, if you want to walk into your Bible, you'll find a Jew carrying the front of the cross and a black man carrying the back of it. You ought to be real careful. It's a whosoever will gospel. Oh, God is not looking on the outward appearance. He's looking on the heart. And I'll tell you what He sees. He sees that all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. And every person ever born, they'll either go to the same hell or they'll go to the same heaven, because it's a whosoever will gospel. You want out, I ain't talking about losing it. I'm talking about rejecting it. If you want out, you can whosoever, right out. But thanks be to God, whosoever wants in. Y'all ain't happy about that as you ought to be. Whosoever wants in. Now let me say this. Brother Ken, I believe we're eye to eye on this. I'm a whosoever will preacher. But I'm not a whensoever will preacher. The Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. You'll not go live a life of sin and waltz down an aisle popping your bubble gum and say, I reckon I'll get saved now. I'll tell you, when you'll get saved, when the Holy Ghost draws you to the Father and you submit and you fall headlong by faith. It's whosoever. But it's not whensoever. As a little boy, I spent the first part of my life in a place called Buck's Pocket, Tennessee. It's where I got so cultured and where I came so sophisticated. Some of y'all in bad shape because you think I am. God help you. In Buck's Pocket, there was two things. There was the crazy corner bar across the street, and there was the Berean Baptist Church where my daddy was the preacher. It was sinner or saint. It was in or out. There wasn't no in between in Buck's Pocket. Wasn't no Ruatan Club, no Elks Lodge. Is the bar or the Baptist Church? And we lived out there in the middle of nowhere. Our closest neighbor, about a half mile away. We had horses and kids. We had a place called Outside. Y'all should have seen it. It was amazing. Look at them. Outside. What is that? You know what? I'm going to come over here for a minute. I feel so sorry for y'all. You know what daycare was? It was when Mama closed the door and locked it. Can I get a witness? And about dark, Lord have mercy, I got to see y'all's face. And about dark, she'd walk out there and lean in that station wagon and, That meant it's time to come home. Y'all getting text messages. Supper's ready, honey. Come on, do your homework. No. Back in our day, text message sounded like, Anybody bearing witness with me right here? You better not act like you couldn't hear that horn, because she would remind you to stay within hearing distance next time. I like Southern mamas because they will hurt you, but right before they do, they will explain to you how they're going to hurt you. Mama say, I'm about to slap the snot out of you. And then proceed to make mucus come from your mouth. Y'all bearing witness with me in here? We had a place called Outside. Man, we stayed outside. My daddy resigned that little church and he moved us to Columbus, Georgia, in the middle of town. I remember, I was 7, 8 years old. I remember watching them load them horses up and sold them horses. I remember driving into Columbus, Georgia, and our closest neighbor was a half mile away, and she's an old woman that believed in Little Debbies, and we loved her. And, man, we got to Columbus, and there's a house every which way you turn. I thought, Lord have mercy, who is sin, this man or his mother? Somebody, God's a judging somebody in this outfit.
Jonah, jump in so the rest of us can live. We got moved into town. Daddy bought us some bicycles. And there was a little old place up the road from us called Goolsby Foods. And I'd never seen anything like this. It was the crazy corner or it was the church. We went down to Goolsby Foods for the first time. And when we pulled up on them bicycles, Brother Ken, they had a big old set of doors in the front that had an electronic eye on it. And when it seen you coming, them doors said, shoo. And you just walk in like you own the place. Well now, we didn't have no doors where we could. We had screen doors. With thread spools for handles. And springs on them that would break your leg if you didn't get out in time. There wasn't no sneaking out of our house. It sounded like bear trap going on. We hadn't ever seen no automatic sliding doors. And I remember the first time we ever seen them, me and my brother Chad and my brother Jason. We went there just all day. We rode them bikes in front of that door. I bet that manager wanted to come out and ring on it just 2 hours. Watching them big doors just back and forth. We'd go down there and we'd get us a Faygo and a Charleston Chew. And that Charleston Chew's the awfulest candy bar ever made. But it'll last you 2 weeks because you can't eat the thing. Look it up. Google it. Y'all figure it out. And we'd go in there. And there'd be times we'd be down at the creek playing. We'd be muddy and dirty. We'd go down there to Goolsby Foods and them doors. Every time, remember how dirty we were. We'd walk right in. There's times, Brother Jamie, we didn't have enough between us, but we'd have to all three split one of them Faygo drinks. But it didn't matter if we just had about 50 cent rolling around in our pocket, them doors every time, open right up. Them doors didn't care how dirty we were. Them doors didn't care how broke we were. Them doors didn't care how poor and how nasty. Praise God. Every time we come to them, they opened up and let us in. They were whosoever will doors. I sure am glad that we come to Jesus. He ain't checking out what's in our billfold. I'm glad he doesn't tell us, no, you ain't dressed nice enough to come in here. You go put on something a little bit better and then try to come back. I'm glad it don't matter how dirty we are. It don't matter how poor we are. It don't matter how insignificant we are. I'm glad the whosoever will door will always open. I've preached to little old kids in Albania. In those gypsy camps, wearing a half a set of clothes, every one of them. None of them have on a complete set. One of them have on a pair of breeches. One of them have on a shirt. But none of them have all of it. And I was able to, I watched them, Brother Ken, lay down in the middle of the road and stick their face in a mud puddle to get a drink of water. Watched them climb out of those dumpsters, eating whatever they could find rotten in that dumpster. And I was able to tell those little old poor gypsy kids, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've sat in multi-million dollar homes and looked into the eyes of men that's had more money and more power than I'll ever know anything about. And I was able to say to him, sir, your money does not impress or depress God. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, the blood and the people of the blood, it's a whosoever will gospel. There's some of you in here tonight, the devil has always beat you down over your past. He's always told you what you're not and what you're never going to be. But you ought to get some joy in your heart tonight because there's one thing you are. You're a whosoever child of God.
And there's some of you praying for somebody. And you say, "Preacher, I feel like maybe their heart is too hard. I feel like maybe they've gone too far." Listen to me. As long as there's still a whosoever, there's still grace. And the Lord can save them. I want you to stand up with me all over this building. This world that we live in is going to come crashing down one day. But I'm glad when it does, I'm glad my world is hanging by a scarlet thread. And the precious blood of the lovely Lord Jesus has tied up everything that was tore up. The only house that made it in town was that of a harlot. But you see, Jesus had done been down to that house. And the Lord had done tied up what was tore up. And when all of Jericho came crashing in, she was still standing because her world was upheld by the promise of the blood. I wonder several things tonight. Here's how I want you to come pray. Some of us need to come and pray and just thank God that when we came to the door of salvation, we ought to thank Him that it opened up and let us in. Some of you tonight need to come and call out somebody else's name because you may be the only one standing between them and hell. You ought to come call their name out to the Lord. You ought to come tonight and pray for your preacher. He's a bold preacher. In a world that's bowing to compromise and culture, you ought to come pray for your preacher tonight. Some of you, your world right now is falling apart. Now, I'm not talking about prophetically or end times. I'm talking about everything you know is crashing around you. You ought to come tonight and let the Lord Jesus bind it and tie it up and let Him hold you together while it's falling apart. Brother's going to sing. Many have come. Wouldn't you be obedient to the Lord tonight?